There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Mark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Nasser Hamid, my co-host. This is podcast number 890, June 15th, 2021, Nasser.
Thank you, sir. I say all quiet on the F1 front, except for sound of door slamming at Williams. We shall explain gladly. Back to you, Prince Charming.
Thank you, Nasser. On today's program, Mercedes preparing to attack. Can Alpine impress at their home Grand Prix in France? And will Fernando eat the snails? And just a reminder, we need your contributions to keep this program on the air. Just click on the Support F1 Weekly tab on the front page. You know you want to. Nas, welcome to the studio. How are you? Very excited. The saucisson, le maroilles, and le pinard is going to be coming out, and people are going to be pumped up to see Max do it again. But unfortunately, I believe that LCH will be bouncing back because Toto has crapped the proverbial whip.
And you said Mercedes is preparing a blitzkrieg, and, you know, based on history, that means they should be able to cross the Christian Horner line very easily and retake the championship lead, but time will tell. But here's an idea for you, Mr. Rogers. With your newfound love for NASCAR, you can enjoy PBR while watching NASCAR, and then you can switch to Pastis for F1 Action from Le Castellet.
So true. It's going to be so wonderful. A little pastis, and we'll have a good heat wave this weekend here in California, so I could pretend that I'm in southern France. But it will be interesting, and of course, the big news is now we have rumors swirling about that maybe by Silverstone, all of a sudden Bottas will find himself in a Williams and Russell in a Mercedes.
Yeah, we'll come to that in a minute. But talking of warm weather in Cali, I read that rain or some sort of showers are expected only on Friday at Paul Ricard, but we will see. But sir, the long Mistral Strait, will that be Max friendly or Mercedes friendly? I think the heat is on Hamilton, but 7 championships were not won in California lottery. The momentum and championship lead is with Max and Red Bull, and with Sergio winning in Baku, there is a strong wingman at Red Bull now. I think if Honda can outperform Mercedes in the French Grand Prix, then case for regime change will be very strong. Now, the other question I have, which I'm very interested in, will the race be last chance saloon for Daniel Ricciardo to lick and send it over teammate Lando Norris? This has been a real big negative surprise for me this season, especially considering Lando was left behind by George Russell in Formula 2 and Sebastian Vettel was left behind by Danny Ric when they were teammates at Red Bull. What say you about the Grand Prix, sir? What's going to happen there?
Well, I think McLaren has got all their eggs in Norris now. That car is just not going to change until 2022. So I think Ricciardo, if he hangs in there and becomes a little competitive, maybe the 2022 car will work for him. But right now, it's not looking good.
Okay, now we come to local team Alpine and drivers Esteban Ocon and Pierre Gasly. I hope both of them score points in their home race, which will be nice. But two past masters will be in focus, Sebastian Vettel in Aston Martin and El Machismo, or maybe he'll be known as Le Machismo in this race, Mr. Fernando Alonso. And he's a machismo regardless of what he is driving. You mentioned that the Bottas situation, well, the rumors are very hot and all over the bootay of Bottas that he will step aside at Mercedes for pretty fast boy Floyd. And the rumors are so strong that I don't think Toto will do a mid-season swap. And even Bottas made a comment recently, only one team does that. And we all know what that team is. But the reports are saying the announcement will be made at the British Grand Prix. And this will be a very good marketing move by Mercedes, as I'm sure they sell a lot of cars in, a lot more cars in GB and colonies than Finlandia. I will not be surprised if he is on fellow Finns program back to where he started, Williams. Now, Dr. Helmut Marko, he is such a nice and kind spirit that he saved Bottas a dime by telling the media, no need for Bottas to call us, no space for him. Isn't that very nice, sir?
That is very nice. I feel bad for Bottas, but listen, he's counting his money. He's done well for himself. His teammate happened to be Lewis Hamilton, which isn't terrible. Nico Rosberg won a championship against Lewis Hamilton. But for Bottas, it's going to be very difficult. It's going to be non-existent. Bottas, enjoy yourself. Have a wonderful life.
Yes, sir. He has done well for himself. He's made some decent money. And he's a very nice chap, driver. I've met him a few times. We've interviewed him a few times. And he was always very decent and down-to-earth. And I've seen him operate with some other people also. So I wish him all the best. Now, sir, in other news, Simon Roberts, he has been shown the door at Williams, even though the team and new boss, Jos Capito, they were very lovey-dovey upon his exit. What goes around comes around. Mr. Capito himself was booted out at McLaren when his recruiter, a certain Ron Dennis, was shown the door at McLaren. Now, Mr. Capito made his name as motorsports manager at VW, also known as VW. He has been recruiting what they call in corporate world his own cronies. This include ex-BMW F1 team engineer Willy Rampf and VW engineer. I think his name is François-Xavier Dumontier. He's known as FX Dumontier. And he was very successful with the VW rallying program. But you know, Mr. Rogers, looking forward with the budget cuts coming in, I will not be surprised if one of the VW brands enter F1 through Williams. Their portfolio include Audi, Bugatti, Lamborghini, and Porsche. And how cool would it be to see Blue Bugatti back in Grand Prix racing? French Racing Blue, that is. So I'm sure you would like that.
I would love that. I mean, the Bugatti name back in Grand Prix racing would be, well, I'd be over the moon, as some people say.
Yeah, that'll be very nice. Others in the news, sir. Jaime on Highway to Nowhere. You remember our friend Jaime Alguersuari, right?
Yes, one of the most famous DJs that we know of.
Yes. After he got Dr. Marco's machete, he quit racing and became a DJ, like you said. And he was recently quoted by a racing magazine saying, and I quote, "I was living with too much stress, resentment and hatred of Red Bull and the Formula One system in general. I needed a change in my life." End of quote. Now, you know, he was talking about dealing with Dr. Marko, and he told this magazine, he started screaming, "I try to explain things calmly, but if a person is like a wall, the sound just come back at you." And you know what is interesting? I have not seen this particular video. I don't even know if it exists. But there is a video on YouTube of a similar scene where Jaime is explaining something to Dr. Marko. And only thing that good doctor said was, "We don't accept it." And I think it was shortly afterward that he got the chop chop. But the sound of racing has brought back Jaime into racing. He is now in European karting. He was a very talented driver and was British F3 champion. After that came the problem. He was in early part of his first season in World Series by Renault, where Kovalainen, Sebastian Vettel and Kubica came from, when Red Bull put him in Formula One. His comment after a few races was, "Getting into F1 without any testing is like going to the slaughterhouse." And Mr. Rogers, when the butcher has a degree in jurisprudence, justice will be swift and harsh. As Mr. L. Davis would say, the driver must go down and he must go down hard. So what else is that you would like to discuss today, sir?
Well, it's a beautiful world. I'm just so pumped up that we have the French Grand Prix this weekend that I can't believe it. But boy, we had a lot of interesting racing, like you said, including the Super Speedway.
Yes, yes. And now more Formula One motor racing, sir. While the 2021 Formula One season has become a Secretariat versus Ali Sheba show, today we shall look at those being left in the dust. And we're sorry to Bottas' fan, but we have to start with him. After six races, he is winless. When he takes pole position, someone else driving a similar car takes the win. This is not so bad considering who the teammate is, but what is career destroying, at least at Mercedes F1 team, is his position in the championship. Lewis is second, 101 points. Bottas sixth, which is very, very bad, with 47 points. From being a solid number two and wingman, he has now become, to borrow a phrase from Mr. Donald Fagan, a third world man.
He's been mobilized since dawn. Now he's crouching on the lawn. He's a third world man.
Rumors are already circulating that Finnish driver has already been advised by Toto that next year Bottas will have a season-long vacation in Africa. So basically what Toto is saying, if you cannot be on top of the podium, at least be on top of Mount Kilimanjaro. So we wish Bottas all the best. Next man on the agenda, which very, very shocking to me, is the smiling assassin Daniel Ricciardo. This is a great mystery for me, as I thought he might not only get on the podium, but even get a win like Sergio Perez did. If he could get on the podium more than once and get a tattoo on Cyril Abitbol driving a Renault, he surely could get close to a win in a McLaren powered by Mercedes. Keyword Mercedes, or so we thought. But Formula One is not made of champagne wishes and extra shrimp on the Barbie. He is the man who sent Seb out of Ferrari and raced teammate, the mighty Max, at Red Bull very hard. Now he is standing in the shadows of Lando Norris, a young, what you call a whippersnapper, who has yet to win a single Formula One race. It is always a surprise to me, Mr. Rogers, when a racing talent like Danny Rick claims that the car is not suited to his driving style. I remember not too long ago, a MotoGP champion said the same thing about his bike. One thing is for sure, Danny Rick did not hit a magical button to delete his immense racing talent. Let's hope the man from Perth gets his mojo and performance back so we can see the return of Shuey on the podium. Now we come to a guy who's at least happy now, and I hope he stays that way rest of the season and beyond, Mr. Sebastian Vettel. It may be a while before we see the finger and walk like an Egyptian routine on the podium, but it sure was nice to see the four-time world champion on the podium for the first time this season. After the loving was over at Ferrari and retirement looked like a possibility, Seb surprised many by signing for the new Aston Martin F1 team. At the start of the season, he looked lost against Lance, and that's very hard to do. Many of us will remember the baby-faced Seb, who made his debut in the 2007 US Grand Prix at Indy, replacing Robert Kubica. I am hopeful, given the right package and environment which he seems to enjoy at Aston Martin, Seb still has some steam left to grab a few more wins before going on a permanent gardening leave on his organic farm. You have hope for Seb now, sir?
Yes, we all have hope. You know, coming in second was a big achievement for Aston Martin and for Seb. They needed that. That was half his season, that podium. So I'm pretty pumped up for Seb. He's got his testicular fortitude back where it should be, so we'll see. Maybe a win this season, you never know.
Next, Nikita Mazepin, the Moscow Maldonado, His shenanigans against his own teammate in Baku was a fine display of what this driver is all about. Nuisance on the track and in F1. Yes, he was quick in F2 after years of racing in that series, but does he really belong in Formula One? The answer was provided by one English royalty on and off the track who said, "Cash is king." So, no wonder he's there, and pretty soon he may be a team owner in Formula One, the way things are going at Haas F1. Sir, this news came out, I think it was yesterday, about Pirelli talking about the tire failures in Baku. As expected, they had to admit there was no debris damage, but also there was no problem with the tire. It was just some sort of issue that developed during the race because of so many laps run. And it reminded me of the Ferrari situation when they had an engine failure. And they blamed right away to piston made by Mahle. You have any thoughts on the Pirelli statement, sir?
Well, we knew it was coming. Tire pressure is a big deal. But Red Bull put out a statement saying that they followed all the rules Pirelli provided them and will continue to do so. So there's not... At least Christian Horner didn't throw him under the Renault F1 bus.
And you know, there are also rumors now saying that Sergio Perez's contract will be extended at Red Bull. And you know, I was thinking on my morning walk today that it'll be very hard for Red Bull to let go a guy who gave them a win in his sixth race with the team. And I think he's going to do very well. I don't think he's going to rattle the cage of Max, to be honest with you, but if he can finish second behind Max in a few races and deny valuable points to LCH, then that seat is very, very well earned. Do you think, and he has been saying before joining the team, he already has a contract for 2022, so maybe he will go on his own, but do you see him, Dr. Marco's wingman next year?
I do. I think Perez is very impressive. He's blown away some of the young whippersnappers we expected to impress. So for a gentleman with a family and a beautiful wife and children, he is very competitive. He's a hot commodity. Red Bull will not let him go.
Yeah, he is one of the few drivers, you know, who was not very impressive or as impressive as people who went on to win races and championships in Formula One, because I followed his career from his Formula BMW days, British F3, and he was in GP2 for a few years. He was totally, basically outclassed in Junior Formula by Esteban Gutierrez. But it's amazing, you know, how Sergio has become a bona fide, very good Formula One driver. Things did not work out for Esteban Gutierrez in the same way. So it just goes to show there's more than speed required to succeed in Formula One. Shall we take a water break now, sir?
Very good point, Nass. I'm thirsty, so why don't we take a quick break, and we'll be back after these brief messages.
Hi, this is Alexander Rossi, 2008 Formula BMW America's and World Final Champion, and you're listening to F1Weekly.com.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the king, the guru himself, Nasser Hamid.
Yes, sir. Motorsports Mondial is now moving to Motown, actually to Belle Isle near Detroit for the IndyCar doubleheader. Did you see any of the action, especially the reaction of Will Power and the big Marcus Ericsson accident?
Yes, very scary, but great Grand Prix. The road is a little bit bumpy in Detroit, but it was exciting.
I mentioned the accident to Marcus Ericsson. No, the accident was to his fellow Swede, Felix Rosenqvist, excuse moi. And of course, the race was won by Marcus Ericsson, who used to be in Formula One. And Will Power, he was mad as a dingo for losing the race to second red flag of the day, because this was his race and his car would not restart. So he was really P.O. But these things happen. And you know, Marcus Ericsson is some kid we've interviewed a few times. Again, this is a kid whose career I followed from Formula BMW UK. Then he moved to Japan and was managed at one time by Kenny Bragg. So I'm very happy to see him win. Sunday's second race was won by young Mexican superstar, or to borrow a phrase from you, whippersnapper, Patricio O'Ward. The last few laps of this race was like Senna and Mansell at Monaco 1992. Man, I think when the race had few laps to go, he was on fresher tires, but in sixth place on a street course, and he picked one car after another, and very, very impressive, and then he checked out. And if anybody has not seen the last few laps of this race, this was the Detroit IndyCar doubleheader second race. I will highly recommend. And Mr. Rogers, I will be very surprised if this kid is not driving for Roger Penske in a year or two, because if there's anybody who knows the value of a racing talent, it's the captain himself. In racing, as in Uncle Ben's farm, cream rises to the top. So I would love to see him at a very good team and win more races. Sir, the IndyCar season will also have a race at Laguna Seca in September. Are you planning to attend?
Yes. If my doctor clears me for machismo-ness, I will go.
Well, here is the deal. You know, things are opening up around the world, which is good. People are going back to offices. And I don't know what my situation will be, but if I am not working from office in September, then I am planning to make a move to Cali for maybe a month or two. And I definitely would like to, if I'm there for a couple of months, September, October, then I will definitely do the Laguna Seca race. And also a week after that is the Long Beach Grand Prix. So that should be fun. Would you like to go to the Long Beach Grand Prix, sir?
Of course I would like to, Nasser. I'm a professional.
And then what we can do, Mr. Rogers, if you're interested, I've never been there. We have some listeners in LA. We can hook up with them for hot dog or in-flight burrito. And we can, I would like to go to the Peterson Museum also.
I can take care of that.
Okay, let's do that. Okay. Okay, sir, moving on to World Endurance Championship. Century of success for Toyota as maker of Prius and Camry took their 100th World Championship Endurance victory at the World WEC Championship round at the Portimao 8 hours, which is at the Algarve circuit. Very beautiful part of Portugal. Very, very nice track. Very nice track. And this was courtesy of Sebastian Buemi, Kazuki Nakajima, and Brendan Hartley. All three have traveled the Boulevard of Broken Dreams.
I walk this empty street on the Boulevard of Broken Dreams, where the city sleeps and I'm the only one.
Next, SRX Superstar Series, the second coming of IROC. Did you watch this race, sir, on an oval track in CT, as in Connecticut?
I did watch a little bit of it. I thought it was pretty interesting.
Yes, and this season opener took place at Stanford Motor Speedway. I have never heard of this speedway before. And it featured drivers like Castro Neves, Paul Tracy, Bill Elliott, and your NASCAR knight, Greg Biffle. Series is the brainchild of Tony Stewart, the NASCAR legend known as Smoke. He raced and was joint champion of the inaugural season of IRL. And Ray Everham, ex-NASCAR team owner, also known for marrying his NASCAR truck driver, Miss Erin Crocker. So, to each his own. Okay, Mr. Roger, I'm sure you got the news. New jockey at Ferrari, Signor Benedetto Vigna, a physics graduate who has spent the last 26 years at chipmaker ST Microelectronics. Now, this company is a French-based company. I don't know now, but some years ago when I was living in Cali, they had big operations in that area also, Silicon Valley as they call it. Signor Vigna, who holds a degree in sub-nuclear physics from the University of Pisa, no wonder he's leaning towards Ferrari after 26 years at this company. His claim to fame is that he and his team were among the pioneers of what they call 3-axis gyroscope, which debuted in the Apple iPhone 4, and this is basically the technology that allows the screen to adapt to portrait or landscape format as you turn your cell phone. So, and this technology is now used in all cell phones around the world. Do you think it's a good idea to get somebody from non-motorsports or non-motoring world?
I think it's fine. I mean, Ferrari is famous for getting people that only worked for R.J. Reynolds in the past. So, yeah, not surprising.
And, sir, you know, I have a question for you. Ferrari, Porsche, Lamborghini, all these companies have or will be making electric cars in the future. And it dawned on me that electric cars is the future of automobile industry. There's no question in my mind. But I was thinking, you know, do we want to live to see the day when Formula One cars are electric cars and all we hear is a flock of, not seagulls, but a flock of Bataan mosquitoes? What say you?
I'm not looking forward to that. I'm a piston man. I'll take a rotary engine if I have to, because there's explosions there. But it is the future, but it doesn't have to be part of racing. We could still make piston engines strictly for racing and be green and be happy. I am continuing with pistons and gasoline.
So you are Mr. Male man. I also prefer sound man. I mean, you know, if they want to save the world, reduce the distance of every race by 10-15%. You know, Le Mans 24 can be run for 21 hours. It's not a big deal. But I miss that sound very much. But, you know, it is what it is. Okay, sir, now a feature of the day today, sir, points to ponder. Shall I proceed with your express written consent?
Pedro de la Rosa nods his head.
Good, thank you. Points to ponder. We start with Sergio Perez. With victory in Baku, he becomes the first driver to win races for two different teams in the hybrid era, which was very interesting. Now, the French Grand Prix is at Paul Ricard. Senior Jackie Stewart, or Sir Jackie Stewart, won the first F1 race at Paul Ricard in 1971, driving, of course, for Uncle Ken. Ronnie Peterson took his maiden win here in 1973 for Lotus. And I remember this race very well, sir. I was a huge, huge fan of Ronnie Peterson. And I remember him taking this win, and I was extremely elated. Only American winner at Paul Ricard in Formula One is, of course, Mario Andretti in 1978, the year of his championship. Now, next item should be of interest to you, sir. The 1982 podium at Paul Ricard was all Francais. René Arnoux ignoring team orders and winning over Renault teammate Le Professeur and Didier Pironi, who was in his Ferrari. You know, I ran into René Arnoux at the 2009 Le Mans 24-hour race, and we did a quick interview inside a burger shack at the track, and I asked him about the team orders, and he said with a big smile, "I had the same contract as Prost, so I won my home race and said bye-bye to Prost." And he even mentioned to me, I asked him if he was friends with his ex-competitors from Formula One. He said, "Yeah, I'm friends with Nigel Mansell, but not Alain Prost." Kind of interesting.
Just quickly, I just got a news flash. Esteban Ocon has signed a contract for 2022.
With Alpine. Okay, well, congratulations. This is very good. And so his future is secure. So, which means, yeah, I'm looking at autosport.com. Esteban Ocon signs new Alpine deal until 2024. So this means that Pierre Gasly better keep performing and better keep Dr. Marco and Franz Tost happy, because very few seats are left. And I'm pretty sure there will be an opening at Williams. And let's see who gets that seat. Do you think Bottas will go to Williams if he is booted out of Benz?
No, he doesn't. He would never go back to Williams, because they're, why would you want to mingle with Haas?
Well, I think he will go there, and I'll tell you why I say that. There are not many experienced good drivers available. And, you know, he may look second-rate driver to Lewis, but he's still a very fast driver. He has been on poles, and he has won against Lewis, so he's no slouch. The reason I think he's going to go there, it will still be a good payday, and most important, he had a long-term management relationship. His entry into Formula One was made possible by Toto Wolff, and this information was given to me by Valtteri's papa, Rauno, many years ago when he was racing in Formula 3. He was part of the consortium that was handling and managing him. So I think those bonds are still there. I feel strongly that he will go there, but time will tell, as with anything else. And Haas team, I was surprised they would not even look at Alexander Rossi when they came into operation. Now all of a sudden they are singing tune about getting an American driver. So let's see how that works out. Finally, sir, even though the race on Sunday is at Paul Ricca, we shall leave the Palatial Studios with some very nice music about Paris, courtesy of man from Phoenix, Arizona, Mr. Lee Hazelwood. Please enjoy, and thank you for listening.
Good night.
Walking down some cobbled street, the sound of water near my feet, I found her. A 100,000 flashes hit my mind, and soon my arms were all around her. We lay and let our hearts take wings and fly across the Seine. Love came pouring from the sky, pretending it was rain. Paris summer.
Standing on some cobble street, the sound of water near my feet, he found me. I took the wedding ring off of my hand before he put his arms around me. I lived my life and dreamed his dreams and lay beside the Seine. When I left, the tears I cried, he thought were just the rain. Down some cobble street, the sound of water near my feet,
I found her.
I took the wedding ring off of my hand
before I put my arms around her. We lay and let our hearts take wings
and fly across the Seine.
When she left, the tears she cried,
he thought were just the rain.
Whoa,
Paris summer.